Let's talk and learn. Let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom. Let it flow. Let's talk and learn. Let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom. Let it flow.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen amma ba'd. فَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ پڑھیے الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ
الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ
وعلی آلک واصحابک یا حبیب اللہ
وعلی آلک واصحابک یا حبیب اللہ
الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ
الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ
وعلی آلک واصحابک یا نور اللہ
وعلی آلک واصحابک یا نور اللہ
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ Inshallah, welcome back to our program, Let's Talk, to our beautiful panel with us today. We've got Tawfiq Bhai, mashallah, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. How are you doing, Tawfiq
Bhai? Okay. Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah, I can see you're comfortable today, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, a lot better.
Ji, mashallah, we have Gaur Bhai as well, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. How are you doing, okay?
Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah, Allah lak shukr, alhamdulillah. A unique topic today, I don't think I've ever discussed this topic before. But sometimes we do, so you know, here and there. But the topic we're going to be discussing today is finding peace in a fast-paced world. You know, everyone's busy, everyone's running about. And there's a normal saying that people are running about like headless chickens. So inshallah, we're going to be discussing this topic, a very important topic. So don't lose out and stay with us. And before we start the program, mashallah, we'll have a kalam as well, inshallah.
صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله بولا لو پھر مجھے اے شاہ بحر و بر مدینے میں بولا لو پھر مجھے اے شاہ بحر و بر مدینے میں پھر روتا ہوا آؤں تیرے در پر مدینے میں پہنچوں کو جانا میں غریبا چاک سینا چاک میں پہنچوں کو جانا میں غریبا چاک سینا جاگیرا دیکھا مجھ کو شوق کر پا کر مدینے میں بولا لو پھر مجھے عیشا بے بحر و بر مدینے مدینے میں بولا لو پھر مجھے عیشا ہے بحر و بر مدینے میں
Next stanza is a hope and a mission of everyone
that we want to die in the qadama of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Na daulat de, na shohrat de, mujhe bas ye saadat de. Na daulat de, na shohrat de, mujhe bas ye saadat de.
MashaAllah, Azawajal, very beautiful kalam, alhamdulillah, written by Amir Ahle Sunnat, mashaAllah. And this kalam really takes you to Medina Sharif, and mashaAllah, it's a very emotional kalam, alhamdulillah, beautifully recited as well. Jee, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, you are watching our program, Let's Talk. And mashaAllah, we've started the program with the tilawat and the kalam. And the first part we do is the question of the day. So let's go towards the question of the day.
Let's talk and learn. Let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom. Let it flow.
The question of the day is, which companion was known as the sword of Allah? MashaAllah, beautiful question. Which companion was known as the sword of Allah? Gee, the topic we're going to be discussing today, finding peace in a fast-paced world. The questions are, why are people so stressed today? You know, when you talk to people, every second person, oh, yeah, I'm too stressed, oh, I'm too stressed. But the other thing is, whenever I personally have seen this, yeah, when I go to Pakistan, there's no stress. You know, everything's so, people are so chilled out. You know, as soon as the plane lands back at Manchester, that's it, stress level's gone up again. What's the problem?
SubhanAllah. First of all, I think the topic is unique because normally when you have this type of topic, you'll talk about how life is so fast.
Yeah.
You cover the topic as a problem that we have these days, the struggles that we have. But here, it's like the problem's there. The life is fast-paced. But yeah, how can we find peace?
Gee, that's
Something that a lot of us don't really, you know, discuss and, you know, try to find solutions to.
Gee.
So I think whoever chose this topic, if it's not yourself, mashallah, it's a good topic.
I'm humbled by that.
Mashallah. It's a good topic, mashallah. I think it's much needed. Yeah. And during the kalam...
I think it was yourself, wasn't it, Medina? Did you choose this topic?
Must have been you, you're the director.
No, SubhanAllah.
No, because so, you put a few topics in as well, didn't you?
Probably did.
But this is mine then. Mine!
So no one's there to claim.
Yeah.
So it's mine. But on this note though, whilst the kalam was being recited, and I felt that's one of the solutions.
Yeah.
You know, where sometimes you have to leave things to one side,
yeah,
leave the affairs of the world to one side, your problems, your issues, just disconnect with things, just take a pause. You know, 5-10 minutes,
so,
where it's only you and it's the remembrance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's only you, it's dhikr of Allah Ta'ala.
They call it me time.
Yeah, me time.
Yeah.
So personal worship time, individual worship time. And one example, because I'm just going to continue with the kalam. The kalam was in the deep love of Medina Sharif.
Oh, nice.
And if someone was to listen to kalam, we do listen to kalam, but a lot of us, whilst listening to a kalam, we do other things. And that has become a culture now.
Yeah.
We don't give that due respect that kalam needs. And especially if you look at it, you know, it's the that kalam either is a praise of Allah Ta'ala, it's the praise of Rasulullah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam, either it's a dua. That needs its own focus. You have to leave everything, you have to prioritize those words. Like, I'll give you an example of Quran Park. Now, someone's reciting Quran Park and you're listening to it, or even if it's an audio or a video, you're just listening to the sound. And even that, you're listening to the verses of the Quran. You can't be doing anything else. So if we were to fulfill the requirements of respect and love and dignity of the kalam, this is one way to find the peace.
So you've already disconnected yourself. So how are you going to get that peace? You know, because
you're disconnected with the dunya, but you're connecting with the words of kalam.
But what happens is, as soon as the kalam or the Quran Pak is recited, because you're already distracted, you're already disconnected from yourself from that. So that's why sometimes people say, when I read the Quran, I don't find that inner peace. It's because you're always thinking about the dunya.
Yeah, what you just mentioned now is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentioned the Quran, Surah Ra'd. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub. Through the remembrance of Allah, hearts find out peace.
Subhanallah.
Heart and mind are connected. So when you're remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when a person's soul will be at peace. A person himself, his mind, everything will be relaxed.
You know what the people you mentioned, Qurbay, is that, you know, people do tend to read the Quran.
Yeah.
You know, they say we listen to the Quran, we read the Quran, we still don't find that satisfaction. And he's given one of the answers is that, we're there, but we're still disconnected with it. Yeah. You know, we're thinking about other things.
Another reason is because sadly we don't understand the Quran. So to get that sukoon whilst reading the Quran is to read it with the translation as well. Because our society, most of we're not from the Arab culture, we don't understand Arabic. So Kanzul Iman, Alhamdulillah, Dawud Islami has got the app as well, Al-Quran in the blue icon. That download that, and when you read the Quran, you can read the English with it, so you understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. That's when you'll find more sukoon.
And then we've got the new Ifham, Tafheem al-Quran, or Ifham, Tafheem al-Quran coming in English with the tafsir, the commentary.
Yes.
So that'll be a great, mashallah, book to read as well, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
But the question is that, why are people so stressed today? You know, the thing is, I wanted to know, you know, a few years ago when our parents were working, my dad, I think, used to get paid 160, 170 a week.
I think the answer is contentment. We're not content with what we have. Is that we always want to chase more money. We've got a certain job.
Halmi Mazid.
Yes. For example, you're saying your parents, when they were back in the 70s, 80s, when they came from Pakistan, they were happy with what they had from the factories, £1, £2, an hour. Even a day, they used to get that much. But they were content and they still used to send money back home and provide for their families here. But nowadays, we're just chasing, because this is our society has gave this mindset. We need more money.
You know, sometimes when you look at a person and you see driving a good car, living in a big house, you think to yourself, you know, this guy sorted money, you know, he's okay. But when you talk to that person, funny enough, I was talking to a guy, mashallah, well off, Allah give him more as well. But when you talk to him, he goes, I wish I was in your shoes. And I think, hey, we're always dreaming to be in your shoes and you're dreaming to be in our shoes. It's because of the problems that he's facing in life.
Well, like Gohar said, that people, their requirements, their standards have changed, the lifestyle has changed, and we're always, you know, chasing money, and we feel we're lacking, we're behind, and that does stress you out. However, the question is money the solution? And when we look at the world around us, it's not.
It's not definitely.
Yeah, because there are people who earn crazy money. You know, per week, you know, we talk about average person, say in the UK, they might earn £300, £400, £500 a week to manage their family affairs and monthly, you know, to meet their ends. But there are people, even this day and age, you know, very less, but there are people who might be earning, especially sports stars, they earn 300K, 400K, half a million a week or a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But if you look at their lifestyle and if you do a bit of study, these people are probably the most who are in debt. Even the big like clubs, football clubs, for example, there are so many big football clubs, the famous ones. You know, when you look at them, they're like 3-4 billion in debt. And so everyone is struggling.
I was reading an article about a billionaire, and he, you know, someone asked him a question. what is it that if you had this in your life, you think you'll be a happy person? He goes, I wish I had a normal life.
Allah subhanahu
wa ta'ala. You know, he doesn't have a normal life. And we've got that normal life. Yes. But the thing is, you know, 30, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, you know, there was peace, like you mentioned. They were earning less, but they had peace in their hearts. Now we're earning twice, three times, four times as much, but that peace is not there. So what's changed in them years that, you know, we're not finding that peace today?
Personally, I feel definitely life has changed.
Yeah.
How we are living the life. Although all three of us here and those who are watching this program, everyone has a 24-hour cycle in the day and night.
Yeah.
That's not changed.
No.
1,000 years ago.
I was just thinking, yeah, mine is the same as well. 24 hours.
So 1,000 years ago it was same, now it's same as well.
Yeah.
So that time frame is still same, but our lifestyle has changed. Mm-hmm. And definitely overall people are struggling. You know, maybe say if you were to go back 15 years ago, you'll only find those who actually have like big businesses or who have big responsibilities. You know, you'll hear them, you know, like, I'm really busy. Sorry, I don't have time. Yeah, but now, fast forward 15 years, now in 2026, you find kids saying it.
Yeah,
and it's a common, I don't know if you guys have experienced it. I've experienced a regular word I hear from kids, I'm too busy. I don't have time.
You know, you give them homework from a madrasa, they don't do it. Why? Because I've been busy. Busy doing what?
And then when you look at their schedule, you know, sooner you feel sorry for them. They do look drained out.
I think this has mainly happened after the COVID impact. I think because we've been at home, and on especially kids, they've been on their gadgets. And so now after COVID, kids are just busy on their gadgets, playing on their games.
Yeah.
Like when you give them homework, even from Jamia as well, like they find it very hard to revise their homework and stuff. So we don't have time.
You know, what we're adopting now is to get the homework done in the madrasa or the jamia
so
before they go home.
Instead of homework. Yeah.
So again, you know, the things
so overall, can we blame someone? I personally think we can't really blame anyone. We
just
the way
society.
The time has come.
Yeah, that's how society has changed, isn't it?
And we need to adapt to it. And we need to look at, like this topic here, finding peace in fast-paced life. That's a topic that we wasn't there before.
Yeah,
it wasn't a common thing that people would discuss, but now there's a need to discuss these topics.
Yeah.
Now it's a need to discuss how we can reduce our mental stress, anxiety.
See, that's what I wanted to talk about as well, that, you know, because of this, mental illnesses have gone, you know, high, anxiety, stress. You know, a 14-year-old kid, what stress would he have? You know, he's not paying the bills, he's not doing anything. But if you ask him, he goes, I'm stressed. I asked a little kid, 12-year-old, every day he comes to the madrasa, and he's so, you know, dopey in a sense, he doesn't know where he is. And he goes, what's wrong with you? Just stressed out, Kari Sahab, I don't know. What are you stressed out about? The bill, they're not, you know.
No, you're right. Sometimes you see some kids, like regularly, they look stressed.
Yeah.
And it's sad, you know.
I think it's just generally, society has put pressure on everyone. For example, like local in Rochdale, there's kids who commit suicide because they didn't get good results.
Yeah, we heard about that.
Because...
Yeah.
There's a pressure from society that you need to go to university, you need to get a degree in medicine, but he didn't meet that degree, didn't get the qualification, he committed suicide, sadly, because there's a pressure from everyone, home, friends, everyone puts a pressure.
In UK, if you look at the fees at university,
before
you join a course, you think, you know, when I graduate, I'll be like 27,000 in debt, or maybe more now.
Yeah.
If you look at the accommodation and the fees, you're looking about 3 years course, about £60,000.
So, you know, just looking at that, before you actually graduate, before you start making money, you're already in debt. And how long are you going to stay in debt? The way the life is become, like, you're going to be in debt in your whole life. And that is something that
basically
is, you know, if someone has a debt, if someone actually, you know, understands what debt is, you know, if he has the actual, you know, like the feeling that person, the way he should have, even like £10 of debt is something that's
a debt, definitely.
You want to get rid of it. But especially if you have so much and you know there's no quick solution to it. And that's what drains a person.
Another thing, Tawfiq, we have noticed is that, you know, as people are living their lives, they're getting disconnected from the deen. You know, there's no spirituality inside them. You know, the first thing that goes, for example, I was talking to someone and, you know, he's got two jobs and he's looking for the third one. Why? Because he's £10,000 in debt. Yeah. You know, okay, £10,000 in debt. Have you ever tried making dua?
Well, Hafsa, how long has it been? We've been hearing this about this culture that people are looking for double jobs. Maybe 5 years, 10 years.
Yeah,
it's not that long ago.
Yeah.
And already it's a time that where people are looking for third jobs.
Yeah.
So it is. You know, people are struggling. know, people are struggling. But the thing is, today's real discussion is not about people are struggling. We need, during that struggle, look, the thing is, you can't say in life there'll be a moment where you'll be stress-free. Yeah, all mm-hmm. the problems will vanish. Yeah, we need to understand problems, struggles are part of life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely, depending on what stage of life you're in, what position you're in, what role or responsibility you have, the stress level, the responsibilities change. Mm-hmm. The struggles will change, but you do have those challenges.
But the thing is, yeah? like you mentioned, you know, these problems will always be there. Some of the things that we worry about, you know, we don't need to worry about, yeah. but we're still taking them on board.
So I think if you spend a bit of time on discussing the solutions, mm-hmm. so you just touched upon one point here, mm-hmm. that one solution is, look, don't worry too, don't overthink.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't worry too much, especially on the small things.
Another mm-hmm. solution is having a balanced life, giving time to everything. Proportion, 24 hours doesn't mean you work for 15 hours and the rest of the 9 hours you go to sleep. The Lord has a right over you. Your body has a right over you, and your family has a right over you. Meaning your family, you have to give time to your family, give time to your job as well, and give time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. All these three things need to be balanced evenly.
But what's happening is that we're trying to
give the job more and the money more than
Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Getting more disconnected from the deen, from Allah azza wa jal, and that spirituality is losing inside. Then another one is, you know, people are getting disconnected from Allah azza wa jal. How could, now, number one, we said that, you know, they need to sit down, think about it. What other ways can you think of helping, you know, ourselves and the people that we can connect back to Allah Azza wa Jal?
I think it's like Tawfiq Bhai mentioned, like, is your schedule, daily routines. Just sit down and look at your daily routines. What is those things which are distracting you and you're occupying your most time into?
MashaAllah, we had the question for today. Which Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu is known as the sword of Allah? Got a few answers here. Salam, my name is Hussein and I'm from Wokingham. And the answer to the question, mashallah, brilliant Hussein. Hassan from Rochdale, the answer for today's question, mashallah, brilliant Hussein. Hassan's got it right as well. Hadi Umme Hani Ahmad Rafiq, mashallah, you've got it right. Oh my God, I'm sorry, you haven't got it right. So reset the button, go back to the drawing board, as they say. Today's answer from Hamza Nadeem. You got it right, mashallah. Back to our topic where we're discussing. Another question that Khalid Bhai said that peace and tranquility placed in the heart by Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, so basically, peace and tranquility placed in the hearts by Allah. A believer may face hardship, but still feels inner calm.
Allah Akbar. Subhanallah.
I just want to, obviously, everything goes back to the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had times of when he was a very difficult time as well, like the year of the 10th year after proclamation of Prophethood, when his uncle passed away, his wife passed away as well, radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again assured the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your Lord never leaves you. In Surah Duha, your Lord never leaves you. No. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Hijr mentions, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَدِيكُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. And we certainly know that your heart is saddened by what they say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the Prophet said, heart is sad, but what to do? How to remove this sadness from your heart? فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. Glorify Allah with His praise and do sajda. Like even when there are times of difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Rahmatul Alameen, the best of all creation, that you praise me and do sajda, your heart, the sadness will be removed. And we are not prophets, we are humans, we are more prone to have these difficulties. We are those people that will commit sins. And so this is a bigger lesson for us as well. If Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is commanded to do sajda and to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do tasbih subhanallah, but also virtue on subhanallah. Sometimes we want to have the results straight away in front of us, but subhanallah, I've said it once, but one tree in paradise. Alhamdulillah, one tree in paradise. These are those results that already takes about a few seconds to say, even a second, subhanallah. But the results will be in paradise, which will be inshallah for. There'll be no end for the gardens of
paradise. Mufti Qasim Sahib once mentioned in one of his bayans that, you know, for the, especially those people that are in debt, you know, they're always constantly worrying about things. He says, why do you make dua in the court of Allah? The dua is a weapon of the believers. Why don't you work smart rather than work hard? You know, if you work for two weeks on the trot, 15, 16 hours a week, what's going to happen is your body's going to, you know, start to, you know, tire out.
You'll snap. And the third week you'll be in bed.
Yeah, and I know someone who worked like that for about 15 hours a day. What happened? He worked for 2 weeks. Third week, you know, for the next 2.5 weeks, he was in bed. So, you know, your body can't handle that stress. So what you need to do is turn towards Allah.
One way to find a peace is when, especially when you're struggling, is you look at the struggle of the past Muslims.
Yeah.
And a prime example is the Sahaba Ikram who were there in the Battle of Badr. When you look at our struggles, when you look at theirs,
nothing.
Our struggle is nothing.
Yeah.
It's not even worth discussing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just the beauty, the way, you know, the struggles, the world works, is the individual, the person who's more closer to Allah Ta'ala,
the more struggles,
the more challenges that person will have.
SubhanAllah.
So it's something that you can't get rid of.
You know, Sahabi.
If you look up from the whole humanity, the individuals, the personalities who had the biggest challenges are the prophets of Allah Ta'ala.
SubhanAllah.
And amongst the prophets of Allah Ta'ala, alayhim salatu wasalam, our beloved prophet, the last and final prophet of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala, said, I have been tested the most. So if you look at that formula, the struggle, being in struggle is not like the end of the world.
Yeah,
because if you want to be closer to Allah Ta'ala, you're in that territory where you will face struggles. It's how you deal with them, how you find that peace, how you find that strength. And that is something that we need to remember.
If we love the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we love our deen, these problems will come. We need to do sabr. And the one who does sabr, Allah Ta'ala, he says, Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Allah is with those who are patient.
So if you're in the most need of something, even then, if you help someone else, that's another solution to find that peace. You will have that inner peace.
SubhanAllah.
You that feeling that you'll have, you can't describe it.
Alhamdulillah. You know, there's Amir al-Sunnati mentions about inner peace. You know, talk about ghame ummat. Think about other people as well. Just don't think about yourself. Think about other people. So I think, you know, we need to start to focus a bit on the other side as well. Rather than asking the dua for yourself, look at other people.
Allah.
And then, alhamdulillah, you know, we, especially in this country, you know, majority, I would say 99.9% people are well off,
alhamdulillah.
But if you look at the people, you know, back home in Pakistan, in India, in Africa, these people, they're still struggling to, you know, they don't know where the next meal is going to come from. So that should be a way to thank Allah Azza wa Jal. You got some more, mashallah, Binti Rafaqat from Rochdale. I wonder who that is. Is he Cakelicious? Assalamu alaikum. Our name is Hani Ahmad and Hadia Rafiq from Bradford, mashallah. Got the answer right. And also, I'm going to read out the answer there. Go, Masih Bachiyan. Saifullah Bhatti from Glasgow, mashallah. She's got the correct
got
answer
the name
as well.
Saifullah, the name of the question.
the answer she gave me right, but it says Saifullah. This is Adil Ghafoor from Blackburn. MashaAllah, he's got the correct answer. Brilliant, Adil, you're doing brilliant. And I think we only had one wrong answer. So, but the rest of them, MashaAllah, that's brilliant, Alhamdulillah. It's been good to know that the viewers, MashaAllah, and most of them are all youngsters, Alhamdulillah, kids. So it's good to know that, mashallah. We do have a package for today. So inshallah, so let's take this package. We're going to be talking about Khudamul Masajid wal Madaris. You know, Dawat-e-Islami, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, on average is building 2 masjids every single day. And we're going to watch a short documentary. We'll discuss about this as well. And inshallah, if there's anyone out there who wants to build a masjid for their loved ones, inshallah, we'll tell you the way to do that as well. So let's go towards our package for today. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
It's Dawat-e-Islami, it's arrived to...
Masjids are the house of Allah. And subhanAllah, it is mentioned in the blessed hadith that whoever builds a mosque for Allah, Allah builds a house for him in paradise. Many of us may have houses in the world, but the question is, have we secured a house in paradise? Come, let's join hands with Dawat Islami's department,
Khadam al-Masajid wal Mudarisul Madina,
and take part in building a masjid. This department has achieved something so remarkable. So far, more than 7,000 masajids have been built across Pakistan and abroad under Dawat Islami. And this work continues. Make an effort to contribute at least one masjid. Build a masjid for yourself or for your deceased loved ones. And when you return, secure a home for them in paradise. Alhamdulillah, viewers. While speaking about masajid, it is important to mention that Dawat Islami's Madani Markaz, Khazana Madina, are present in many countries around the world, along with a large number of institutions and centers. If I mention the names of just a few countries, along with the numbers of institutions in them countries, you will be surprised. Bangladesh has approximately 152 Dawat Islamic institutes. The UK has approximately 108. South Africa has 43. Mozambique, 34. Spain, 25. Italy, 19. South Korea, 18. Nepal, 18. Australia, 17. Malawi, 14. Greece, 17. The USA has around 16. Hong Kong, 10. Indonesia, 14. Kenya, around 10. Canada, 7. Sri Lanka, 8. Nigeria, 9. These are just a few examples. As I'm reading this, I'm realizing that many countries have not been mentioned here where institutes and centers exist of Dawat Islami. Wherever you are, find the nearest Dawat Islami center, visit it, and become part of this noble mission.
It's Dawat-e-Islami. It's arrived to rectify the people. It's all over the world. It's Dawat-e-Islami. It's arrived to rectify the people.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah Azawajal, a very important department of Dawat-e-Islami. If you look at it, the first thing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did when he migrated from Makkah to Medina, he built masjid. So the first thing was masjid. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the way, when he reached there to Medina Park, the first thing he did was build Masjid al-Nabawi. So the thing is, a masjid is a very important pivotal role in our community. And alhamdulillah, you might be thinking, sometimes people say, you know, how many masjids you need? You'll be surprised. I went to Canada. A person travels 2 hours just to go for Jummah every week because there's no masjid around him. And we had one South Korean traveled 4 hours to come to Winnipeg Masjid and to accept Islam. And, you know, there's so much masajids that we do need, you know, in Malawi, mashallah.
There's always need for a masjid. Yeah. You know, when you travel around, you know, when you go outside your own local bubble, you know, like a lot of us get used to being in our own society. But when you travel even like half an hour, 1 hour away from your house, you'll find that loads of places out there where they don't have that facility. And there's always need to build a masjid. And it's this topic, building masjid, is actually linked to our discussion today of finding peace. Now, if we as individuals or a family were to get together and we build a masjid for our loved ones, those who have passed away, if someone can build a masjid and not just build it and that's it, it's done. Yeah, but after that, you know, keep supporting it as well. You know, there's always running expenses there's a need there. But if you can keep that, like the way you have you plant something, you water it, you nurture it, then it grows, it becomes a tree, the day comes, it gives fruits. Like that, you build a masjid. And, you know, when you do charity, when you give in the way of Allah Ta'ala, and especially if you build a masjid, that peace that you get, it's just amazing. You feel that self-satisfaction that, you know, you've done something that, you know, you feel so happy about, you're proud about. And that's what we need these days. We need these you know, boosters, the confidence boosters, that peace, energy that we need.
And you can build a masjid for roughly about £15,000 today, a good, beautiful masjid in Pakistan, in Africa. And Dawat Islami just doesn't build masajids in Pakistan. We're talking about Africa, we're talking about, you know, other countries as well. Nigeria, I think,
so all around masjid. The world. If someone wants to sponsor a masjid or partially sponsor it, now, if they have any particular country that they want to contribute, if they get in touch with our finance team, you know, make them aware, and inshallah, we can try to arrange a project.
I think even where we are now, Fizan-e Medina, this is under construction as well, isn't it? There's a lot of work that needs to be done as well. So sometimes, you know, we think about other areas, but if someone wants to, you know, spend £15,000, why don't you give us here so we can complete this masjid as
Our purpose building in Fizan-e Medina leads as well. So that's under construction as well. I think the next project is, I think the next process is the inside renovation. So if you want to give money locally as well in the UK.
Sometimes people want a whole masjid to be built as well. Brilliant.
You know, from Thawab point of view, you know, if someone was to build, one person was to build a whole masjid, now will that person get the most Thawab? Or if someone was to give that amount to another place where there is actual need at this moment, and they're struggling. You know, they need that money, and they're struggling. And if you could give that money to complete that work that they're doing, and they can move forward in that construction, that's something to be considered as well. Because at the end of the day, it's, you know, what's in your heart? What are your intentions? Are you doing it for Allah? Are you doing it to show off? Why do you need that? Why do you need that name? That tag there, that plate there, this masjid is mine. Yeah, I built it. Do we need to have that, like, what do they call it? That
plaque.
Stone?
Plaque.
A plaque, yeah. Does that have to be there? No, we're building a masjid for Allah Ta'ala. And I think, you know, you touched on a point that where people live, it's their responsibility to support those areas as well. Yeah, there's no doubt, look after people around the world as well, other countries where there's a need. But your own area. No, you have to look at your own future generations. What are you doing? What are we doing for our own future generations? What are we leaving behind? Today we're here, tomorrow we won't be here. What are you leaving behind for the future generations? And what have you done as an individual? Yeah. You're talking about the stress of life, the brothers, the managements who are building masajid. You ask them.
Yeah.
You ask them what they're going through. It's painful. It's so much struggle. Some places, it's been 15 years, 20 years, and they're still not complete. And it's because they've not had that support from the community that they could have, they needed. So this is where, you know, we need to get our priorities right and, you know, support those in your local area as well.
And I think this is very important, you know. The thing is, own this masjid is not that, you know, whenever we go, just go to the masjid. I was talking to one of the Imam Sahab, and he says that he's running a few masajids in Pakistan. Without the donations, these masajids will close. And there are, you know, children there who are studying. You know, Tawfiq Bhai, for example, Alhamdulillah, we give a lot of money to welfare, you know, people in need, you know, homeless and people who are hungry. And I'm not denying that we shouldn't give them much. We should give them. They are priority. But if you look at the madaris, if you don't give money to them, where's your next generation imams going
to
come from?
The best place to give zakat is the madaris, the jamias, because these are those people. That's the continuous sadaqah jariyah. When you donate money to a jamia, a madrasa is going to become a hafiz the Quran, he's going to become an alim, mufti. That's a continuous sadaqah jariyah.
You know, some of these places where, Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami has built these masajids, there's no masjid, you know, from miles away. And now when there is a masjid there, people have come there, Alhamdulillah, children have started to study. We built a masjid in Hazara region. And I've been there, and I looked at that place, the brothers took me there. And it's like in the jungle. And they said, you know, you might be thinking it's a jungle, but there's a lot of people that live there. And there's no masjid for Jummah namaz. They've got to set off early in the morning to get to where the Jummah is. So Alhamdulillah, someone sponsored to build a masjid there. And now, mashallah, Hifz classes have started. Madrasatul Madina has started. So just look at that reward. So that area now has got a masjid, mashallah. There's a future for that area. And a masjid is a very pivotal role in our communities.
Now, a few years back, we had a brother locally from Oldham. He sponsored a masjid in Dera Ismail Khan in Pakistan, down in the middle somewhere, down south side. And a few years ago, I went to Pakistan and I thought, I want to visit that place. And I've never been to that ends before. So I wanted to go and
Sindh,
visit.
Sindh, isn't it?
Yeah. It's from Lahore, it's about 3-4 hours as well. Okay. So it's in the middle somewhere, but a bit further to the top. And so I went to Karachi, and it was a unique experience. You know, that particular journey from my village in Mirpur side, from our village to Karachi, Fizan Medina, and return journey, all was on public transport.
SubhanAllah.
On buses and rickshaws. Yeah, and it was a good, nice, beautiful experience. But on the return journey, when I came back from Karachi, I wanted to go to that place. So it was a different culture. You know, I've never been to that side. I think, if I'm correct, it was winter time. And it was just a different culture. But when I reached that place, though, that actual masjid that, you know, someone who sponsored for me, and I just wanted to go and see the work and then, you know, send a message to the family as well. And to thank them, mashallah, you supported the work of Dawud Islami. Look, you know, mashallah, it's a beautiful masjid that's been built here. When I went there, and there was one, you could say, like, elderly man who lived very close to that place. That person came running. They probably found out, like, someone's come, you know, like, those who are managing this project. And he came, and, you know, that gaze on his eyes, that look on his eyes, that watering, you know, I just can't describe it. How you know, appreciative that person was, how you know, he was saying, you know, how thankful he was, how, you know, grateful he was feeling that you people, someone has sponsored a masjid. Yeah, there was a need. There's a need in that place. And this is something that we need to realize, you know, building a masjid, you know, it's a lifetime thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something you've done for a bit, it's gone. It's going to stay there. You know, it's going to stay there, inshallah. And those who are going to, you know, keep it occupied, keep it busy, you're going to be reading namaz and you'll be getting the thawab there.
Yeah.
And you know, the center of peace is masajid.
Definitely.
If you're looking for peace, yeah, if you're looking for peace, this is where you need to go. You know, you go to the masjid, you know, visit masajid frequently, stay there, spend time there. But let's look at us though. In the fast life that we live in, what happens to us in Taraweeh time, Jummah time? As soon as the Imam does salam, the Jummah example is, as soon as Imam Sahib does the salam on one side, it's like before he turns to the second, it looks like 2-3 rows are gone.
Yeah.
And I don't know about other people, but personally, for me, because I lead Jummah here as well, for me, it's painful to look back at that time.
Yeah.
It just it's so weird. It's just, it hurts.
You know, people have got this mentality now that it's okay, farz pade, it's okay, go now.
Why people are running away? There'll be a small amount of people who do need to go back to work. I'm not saying that, you know, they don't need to go back. They have this, they are battling with time. It's a big thing that coming to for Jummah prayer. But do all they need to go?
Yeah.
Only they can tell.
Yeah.
But it's just painful. Like, why are we running away? Why can't we wait more? Make dua there. Stay there. Read zikr. Do something there for a while.
We got the next is the segment is going to be the puzzle. So inshallah, let's go towards the puzzle or guess the picture.
Let's talk and learn. Let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom. Let it flow.
Right then, are we ready? Yeah. Obviously, it's going to start off with the sky because the sky is the limit. There you go. Beautiful sky. Oh, mashallah.
Subhanallah. It's a nice bright sky though.
Bright sky, alhamdulillah.
It can't be UK.
No, definitely not.
The next one's going to be the left sky, isn't it?
Can we have another one, mashallah? Jazakallah for showing us the sky.
I think I've got it.
I think I've got it as well.
I'm not sure whether that's right.
I've got it.
No.
I've got it. Tawfiq bhai, no?
No, I can't think.
Should I mention it? What I think it is?
Go on, have a guess.
Go on, have
I think
a guess.
It's the Jami Mosque in Damascus.
Mashallah. Can we have one more, please?
That's what I think. Well, let's see.
I got it, but it's
not what I said.
No, I don't think it's what you said. Okay. I think it's Masjidul Aqsa.
Is it?
Ji. That's what I think.
Okay.
Ji, can we have the next one, please?
If they take the grey dome, let's see. Yes.
I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah. Masjidul Aqsa.
Ji, let's take it. Tawfiq bhai, do you still agree or do you still disagree?
I can't. Is that dome in it?
Yeah, they've hidden that dome in it. You know, them arches on the ground, alhamdulillah. And you know that wall that you see in the middle, that's the wall that goes down.
No?
Ji. Can we have the next ones, please? The last one. Is it Masjidul Aqsa? We'll only find out. There you go.
Yes.
Yeah. I just want to clarify a misconception. It's not just that's Masjidul Aqsa. It's the full courtyard.
The courtyard. Yeah,
because people see the Dome of the Rock.
Ji.
I see that one. That's Masjid Qiblatain. That's where the Prophet, we used to pray originally towards Qibla. That was Masjid Qiblatain. Masjid Qibli, sorry. So the full courtyard is Masjid Al-Aqsa.
We've been to Masjid Al-Aqsa.
Do dua, inshallah.
Inshallah. Ya Allah, tawfiq bina, samija, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. You've been to Masjid Al-Aqsa?
No,
I've been a few times, alhamdulillah. Mashallah. And seriously, it's amazing. We should definitely visit Masjid Al-Aqsa. You know, rather than going on a holiday 1 year, just say, you know, and it's not that expensive as well. You know, for £500-600, you get each person, you can go to Masjid Al-Aqsa as well. And subhanAllah, can you imagine?
Is it safe to go to Masjid Al-Aqsa?
It's safe to go, alhamdulillah. People are still going there. Okay, nowadays, maybe there's a bit of a problem. But inshallah, azawajal, you know, I say normally, you know, sometimes you think it's going to be really difficult, but many people do go. I think at this moment in time, with what's going around the world, it's a bit difficult, but I think that should be on our list, definitely, inshallah, Masjid Al-Aqsa. Another question will be, how does Islam define inner peace? You know, when you talk about peace, what does that mean, really, peace, inner peace? How does Islam define inner peace?
SubhanAllah. So my understanding of peace is being content with what you have. So whatever you have, be happy with it. Show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides. Be happy whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides. Whether that's less or a lot, be content with it.
You know, like Tawfiq, we were mentioning people coming for Jummah namaz and they're running away. If you ask them a question, When you were at work, who provides you with rizq?
Yes.
Allah. So now when you are at Jummah, will Allah close your rizq? Because at that time you're working for the dunya and Allah is still providing you. Because our main topic was how to find inner peace. There's one question that Halabi said, balancing deen and dunya. Many people feel they must chase success constantly. How can we balance deen and dunya? People think that they have to go out there and chase the dunya or else they're going to be left behind.
It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, so our topic is not to show that don't go, don't find a job, nothing.
Yeah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself in the Quran mentions that seek through what Allah has given you the home of the hereafter. So look, seek for the hereafter as well. But do not forget your share of the world as well. But also work in this world as well. Also find the sustenance in this world as well. But you have to have a balance, like we mentioned. Look for the hereafter as well and also find balance, this equal akhirah and the dunya as well. Have to be like, you see the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or you see the life of Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam. Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam had the ability, he used to make ayin and he used to sell that as well. To show that the Prophet alayhi wasallam, they used to work as well. They used to sell, they used business.
Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to do business,
yes,
trade. You know.
He used to go on to the caravans to Sham as well. So you have to have both.
You know, so Islam never ever discourages person not to work. Yes, alhamdulillah, we had Sayyidina Usman Ghani, millionaire. Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, millionaires. Abu Bakr Siddiq, millionaires. Islam doesn't stop you from earning the money. What Islam does discourage is don't just live for the dunya.
Well, Hafsa, when we say deen and dunya, what do we mean by dunya? If you're saying dunya is earning livelihood, or providing for your family, that's part of deen as well.
Definitely. Yeah.
Deen is, you know, telling us about the rights of your family, of your loved ones, of your neighbors, of your parents. So that is deen.
Yeah.
That is deen. But you're right, these days, because life has become so, you know, fast paced, you know, we do need to have a balance with work and life balance. Where
I think the main thing,
if it's work time, it's work time. If it's family time, don't mix things.
I think the society we're living in, the main thing is balancing our jobs with our salah.
Yeah.
Namaz, the society we're living in, the most important fard is salah. Brothers and sisters are not fulfilling that obligation, which is very important.
You know, those especially like Zuhr time,
yes,
a lot of people say, oh, I've got work, or I can't pray because I've worked.
MashaAllah, we've got 5:12 now, we've got a couple of minutes. Tawfiq Bey, do you want to go through the messages and see who, where your eyes are set upon the winner? MashaAllah, let's take the question on the screen and then we'll take the answer as well. So can we have the question on the screen, please? Which companion was known as the sword of Allah Azza wa Jal? And mashallah, we've had some beautiful answers as well. Inaya from Oldham, 10 years old, mashallah, she's given an answer as well. Also, Hassan from Wokingham gave the answer as well. Can we have the correct answer on the screen, please?
SubhanAllah.
There you go. Sayyiduna Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu is known as the sword of Allah Azza wa Jal. And mashallah, I think apart from one, the rest of them all got it right. Tawfiq Bey, who's the winner?
So today's winner is a young boy from Wokingham,
mashallah,
called Hussein.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. JazakAllah khaira for Tawfiq Bey and Gaur. MashaAllah, thank you for coming in and be part of this program. MashaAllah, an important topic. I hope that I could change myself as well and we can all change for the better. Remember one thing what Amir al-Sunnat, he says, whenever we do bayans, whenever we do these talks, the first person is me. And then we think about the people. May Allah keep us all blessed. Be happy, stay happy, and keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala ala
Muhammad. Let's talk and learn. Let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom. Let it flow. Let's talk and learn. Let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom. Let it flow.